Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
For his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. Set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy. It is my privilege to be with you over these airwaves. Once again, I'd like to remind you that you have gifts, you have talents, and we're about changing the world one heart at a time, if necessary. And so I say to you today, what have you asked the Lord about your own gifts? Have you asked him what gifts they are, and could he reveal them to you through the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that you have gifts? And do you use the gifts that you believe you do have? Many of you have gifts, and you use your gift of evangelization to keep this Catholic radio apostolate on the air. Not everybody's called to be an evangelist. Not everybody's called to be a doctor. Not everybody is called to work in an office or a factory or a facility. We all have different gifts. That doesn't necessarily mean our livelihoods, my brothers and sisters. Because no matter what we do in earning a living, there are still natural gifts given to us in the Holy Spirit. By baptism, we receive the fullness of the Spirit, and so it is in those gifts that God has given each of us at baptism that we forget to fan the flame. We forget to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe afresh on us so that we can begin to recognize those gifts that we have. I never forgot one time I was giving a retreat, and a woman walked up to me, a young woman actually, I guess she was around 28, 29 years old, looked to be anyway, and she said to me, "Could I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "I want to know," she said, I like your teaching style." And she said, "I'm a teacher, and I don't have that gift." And I sat with her a minute, and I said, "You know, what you're seeing is the charism of teaching, a gift of the Holy Spirit. I haven't been blessed to be a teacher, an educator." I said, "You've been given an awesome gift. You've been well-educated. You're very articulate. You have a beautiful gift to help form a mind, to give someone confidence and the wisdom that is of this world. I said, what you're referring to, I said, I don't have all those gifts. And I said, I don't have a formal education. I don't have any of those gifts that God has blessed you mightily with. I said, however, the gift I have is a gift in the Spirit. And that gift is a passing manifestation of God's presence. That gift is the Spirit of God working in me and through me to teach, to preach, to heal, to deliver. I said, however, and at that time I was working. I said, however, I'm actually working in the legal field, and I'm a corporate trainer. I said, now that's a natural gift. That's a natural gift that's been given to me. I said, but I have to separate the two. And I said, I'm sure you have gifts in the Spirit that you're not aware of. And it might not be your teaching gift. That's a natural gift that God gave you to build up, you know, young children, older people. It's a gift of teaching. And but that's your profession. That's what you do. And I'm sure you're excellent at it. But there might be other gifts in you that you haven't even recognized. Gifts of the Spirit. We have the Isaiah gifts, and we have, you know, the other gifts of the Spirit that they talk about in Romans and Corinthians. And you have gifts of the Spirit too. And she found that to be amazing, that I wasn't a teacher per se. I was didn't have a formal education, and that my gift, whatever it was that she recognized, was the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Now, whether it's a natural gift or whether it's a total anointing of the Spirit, being called out to do work in another vein aside from my own particular employment or your particular employment, whatever that would be, we still have gifts, all of us. And so I was thinking about that just now when I was opened up the program. What gifts do you have in the Spirit? If you think you don't have any, or you think, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a secretary, I'm a janitor, I'm a cab driver, I'm a truck driver, whatever you want to be. I'm a baseball player, I'm a drama teacher, whatever it is. They are your gifts, your God-given natural gifts. But there are other gifts in the Spirit that all of us have. And they're the gifts that lie dormant so often, so long within us. And we have to fan the flame. We have to be able to recognize that, yes, if I'm a child of God, that God's given me gifts to use to build up the kingdom. And they are, you know, they're the gift of the Spirit. And what is it that God's calling each of us to do to build up His kingdom? We just had the March for Life, of course, yesterday on Washington. And, you know, I will say it rubs me the wrong way when I listen to all the news commentators. I try to catch it on the different dials on the television, even those that are supposed to be very conservative. Practically no, if there was a mention at all, which I didn't see any, but if there was a mention at all, it was in passing, if you will. Now, tens and tens of thousands of people gathered to walk and march in Washington. It was raining, it was cold, and nothing dampened their commitment to stand out there and have a peaceful presence for life. That's a gift. That's a gift of the Spirit. That's a passing manifestation of the Spirit. It's God's gift. That gift of faith. That gift of bringing forth the message of life. If we don't get life right, my brothers and sisters, if we don't get that gift right, if we don't realize that all of us are called to stand for life, regardless of what kind of shape our country's in, regardless of who we like as a candidate, regardless of how our family and neighborhoods feel about certain candidates, first and foremost, as Christians, we are called to stand for life. We're called to stand for life. It's real simple. We trust Him to work out all the other circumstances and situations in our life when we do the right thing. And so the right thing for all of us is to stand on the side of life. Be a voice for the unborn, those that have no voice. And all those that gather down there, all the tens and tens of thousands of Catholics, Christians, Jews, all those people that were standing together down there, they made a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so they were using their gifts. Maybe they were evangelizing to the person who was on the bus going down or on the train or the subway. That's evangelization. Just standing there in those conditions, making a presence known that life is important. It makes all the difference in the world. It makes an impact. And slowly, and I emphasize the word slowly, slowly but surely, there is a difference being made. Slowly but surely, all those who fight in the trenches, all those that are making the phone calls, all those that are standing vigils outside of the abortion mills week after week, day after day, month after month, all of those things, each and every one of them, all are making a difference. And so I want to praise and thank God for all those busloads of people went down, all those who carpooled and went down, those that took buses and trains and so forth. I wasn't able to be there. And it grieved my heart that I wasn't. But God had me where He wanted me for that day. But we're still called to pray for an outpouring of God's blessing on the people that weren't there. And it did rub me the wrong way when I saw very little mention of it, that people were so dedicated to life that they wanted to go down and make a difference. Those that couldn't go, those that for work conditions or family situations that they couldn't go, I praise and thank God for each one of you who made a difference by praying that all those who say no to life and vote yes for death, that all of you who have prayed made a difference yesterday in the hearts of somebody somewhere. I believe that with all my heart and soul. And that's using your gifts. That's using the beautiful gift of prayer. For those who believe in the power of intercessory prayer, I can assure you, those prayers went up as incense before the Lord. And I guarantee you, He pours down His choicest blessings on all those who stand for life. You know, when we go before the Lord one day, we're not going to have our neighbors with us. We're not going to have our family members with us. We're going to go before the Lord one day and we're going to have an accounting, as the scriptures tell us. That's not for fear. That's for us to account before God where we stood on the issues of life. Did we silently stand by? I mean, 39 years ago, I mean, if you're 39 years old or younger, it was a choice of your parents that you were born. 39 years or younger, if you're 39 years old and younger, there was a possibility that you would never exist. But because your mother or your father said yes to life, maybe even in the most horrible set of circumstances, you gave life. And somewhere that child, whether you adopted them out because you couldn't take care of a child or there was extenuating circumstances, that child had a home and a family waiting to accept that child because the mother had the courage and the wisdom and the knowledge and the grace to say yes to life, even in the most difficult of circumstances. So for all of you who were praying yesterday, whether you were down physically at the march, whether you're before the Blessed Sacrament, whether you're busy in your homes or your businesses, for all of you who prayed yesterday that the culture of death would be reversed, I believe that we'll be that much closer to reversing the horrific, horrific tragedy that assaults our country today through abortion. Almost, you know, there's 4 million. 4 million. I mean, those numbers are so big, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But 4 million babies have been slaughtered. They never had a chance at life. For all these problems that we have in the world today, all these economic problems, all of the energy problems, all of the difficult situations that we're dealing with in our own country, we could have aborted some of the greatest minds that could have solved those problems that we have today. We might have aborted the one, the very person that could have came up with the most gifted person like an Einstein. We could have aborted one of those people who could have come up with the idea and the solution to taking our dependence on foreign gas and oil away from the foreign entities. And maybe they could, maybe that's who was aborted. Maybe there was a pope aborted. Maybe a priest or a nun. Maybe a wonderful mother that would have so much influence on her children by the way she lived, or a wonderful father that would have such a role model for the way he lived, that maybe those children would be tremendous gifts to the world today. Maybe there'd be a doctor that would come up with a cure, an absolute cure. Maybe we would have had it 20 years ago or 39 years ago. Maybe there was somebody that would have been born into the world that could come up with the research that was needed today with all the diseases and sickness that we have in the world today. Yeah. 39 years ago. If you're 39 years old and younger, thank your parents for giving you the gift of life. Because if it wasn't for their yes, you, my brothers and sisters, would not exist today. You just wouldn't be here. And so we have truly just annihilated millions of babies that could have been the very gift that the world needs to become all that God calls each of us to be in our world. So you never know. You never know. So my brothers and sisters, just wanted to say thank you to all of you who have chosen life as a way of life. It's not easy to speak the truth, to be a voice for life when the surrounding, all those in your surroundings so many times feel the opposite way. It's hard to speak the truth. It's hard to say, well, I better not say anything because I'm going to ruffle feathers. I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's why we're in the shape we're in, my brothers and sisters. We are in the shape we are in this country because somebody's always afraid they might, oh, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Truth is truth. And when we speak truth in love, and I will add again, in love, not speaking the truth, trying to show some superior attitude, or not speaking the truth to say, oh, look how holy we are. No, but to speak the truth sets others free, sets ourselves free when we receive the truth. And in the end, like I say, it's not going to be those neighbors, those family members, those people that we live in neighborhoods with that have maybe all the signs up to vote for a certain person on their lawns because they're the majority in your neighborhood. Have the courage and the freedom to put a sign up for the person you believe in. And this isn't a party thing. I'm Republican, Democrat, and independent. It's choose life. Right from the beginning, in the beginning of the Bible, the Lord tells us very plainly, I put before you life and death. I call you to choose life that you might live. So my brothers and sisters, we know sin leads to death. It's told that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sin brings death. We've seen it again from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve. If you eat this, you will die. Well, they ate it anyway, because the devil tempted them and they fell to that temptation. And so look at the situation now. Instead of all of us hanging out and having a great time in the Garden of Eden, no sickness, full of love and life, no hatred, we're a universe that is full of animosity and brokenness and anger and resentment and bitterness and confusion and doubt. And so it makes a difference, my brothers and sisters. Prayer makes a difference. It will draw all of us closer to the heart of God when we stand for life. This might be in my lifetime, it certainly has been the most important election, I believe, that I have ever experienced in my 68 years. And I ask God all the time, please, Lord, give me the grace and the wisdom and the strength to speak the truth, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it will be taken wrong or not taken wrong. And many times, you know, hey, I failed many times, and I'm sure you failed many times, of speaking the truth in circumstances and situations where you know it's not what somebody wants to hear. But to pray for the grace to be able to share the truth. He'll put his words in your mouth. You don't have to think, how can I explain this to this person? I don't know what to say if they would ask me a question. These are the times when the Lord tells us right in the scripture, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't, you know, just trust me that I'll give you the words and the thoughts at the right time, and they'll come from the Spirit of the living God. So let's go on for God, as it is said. And as we move forward, let us remember that each one of us, every single one of us, is a gift. If we would all recognize, not in a vain way, not in a proud way, but we would all recognize that we are all gifted and that we are a gift. And what the world needs now is for each one of us to be that gift, almost unwrapped, and sharing that gift with the world. Maybe you have a beautiful voice. Just a few weeks ago, a prayer meeting, we were singing a song, and as I was listening, I thought, wow, somebody here really has a beautiful voice, and I never noticed it before. And the next song we sang, sure enough, again, I could hear that voice that was distinctive among the others. And finally, I had to say, I said, you know, I don't know who it is here, but if you're not in the choir, you ought to use that gift that God has given you and join a choir. And maybe you have a beautiful voice. And that's the voice God gave you. Give it back to Him for His honor and glory. Maybe you have a beautiful gift in creativity. Then see what kinds of ways you can teach others about creativity and the gifts that God has given you. Maybe you could be an art teacher. Maybe you could be a voice teacher. Maybe you feel inclined. Maybe you have certain gifts that you didn't ever recognize that you had. Maybe you have such a great mind. A great mind. Your intellect is high. Your creativity is high. All those things that God has given you. Have you used them beside in the world to earn a living? Have you asked God how you could use them to build up the kingdom of God? My brothers and sisters, I say to you today, you're a gift. You are a gift to the world. No one can say, I have not been gifted. If you've been baptized and you became a child of God, you are filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So maybe we could all begin to ask the Lord to guide us and to lead us. And to where we can use our gifts and live our lives out in such a way that we are giving back what we have received from God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Did you ever wonder what that meant? I always have. I remember even when I was a kid hearing that. Many are called, but few are chosen. I was like, what the heck does that mean? And I would hear it growing up all the time. And I remember one time, I guess I was about 13, 14. I think I had just turned a teenager. And I remember saying to the Lord, what does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. Lord, why don't you choose all of us? Why don't you call all of us and choose all of us? And I really had a tremendous sense at that time. And for me, it brought clarity, and I never wondered again about it. And I had a sense like, yeah, we're all called, but only a handful or two show up. And so He chooses the ones that shows up. We're all called, but few are chosen. Why? Because those few who show up, they're the ones He chooses to go out and do His work. So for you and for me, we're all called. And let us be one of the chosen so that we can say, yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. So many of us are asleep in the spirit there. So many times we're not really paying attention to the Spirit of God in us and through us. I mean, you know, we just heard just recently in the scriptures that with Eli and Samuel, you know, he was asleep. But he sort of heard a voice and didn't understand it. And he kept coming out. You know the story. And then finally, the third time, he hears it again and he comes out. And then Eli recognized that it was the Lord calling Samuel. And he said, next time, you go back to bed. And next time, if you hear that, say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. And that's who we are. Sometimes we're asleep. We hear the Lord calling, but we pay it no mind. We're sleepwalking through life in many cases. We're so hurt in our mind, our body, and our spirit that we're not responding to God calling our name. Maybe He's calling Robert, or John, Neil, Steve, Mary Rita, Mary Ann, Alice, Joan, Linda, Gloria, Anna. Maybe he's calling each one of us. Kathleen. But we are not recognizing that voice because we might expect anybody else to be calling us. But God? God calling me? Kathleen McCarthy? With all my weaknesses? With all my sinfulness? God? Would it be God calling me? Yes. Yes. It was God calling me. Calling me to take over this radio ministry. Calling me to be a mother. Calling me by name. And it's God calling each of us. God calling each of you. Even though we are, you know, lethargic, if you will, half asleep, start to listen for the whisper of God's voice in your heart. Begin to listen for the nudging of the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your mind, so that you can say, "Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then watch God begin to move in you in such a way that you'll begin to think things you never thought. Begin to have dreams and visions and prophecy and all the rest of it. God is moving in us and through us. We have to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy, and I praise and thank God for each of you. Without you, this Catholic radio broadcast does not go out. It's through your generous gift of prayer. Prayer, first and foremost. If it wasn't for this prayer, believe me, all the money in the world wouldn't keep this ministry going. Prayer underpins this Catholic radio apostolate. So I want to praise and thank God for you and for all the ways that you support us in prayer. And of course, for those that can't afford to give, for those who would like to give financially and aren't able to, I know that your prayers open up the hearts of others who are able to give and sometimes give more times than not, a sacrificial giving. And those that are able to give more, it is still a sacrificial giving. They could use that more to buy themselves something, to buy their family something. And yet they have decided to bless the Lord and give to God what is God's. And they put aside a certain amount and every month or sometimes on occasion, they bless us so that we can stay on the air. And that's a great gift. I praise and thank God for all of you who have tithed to this Catholic radio ministry in many, many different ways, sometimes monthly, sometimes just once a year, sometimes periodically. But I praise and thank God for you, because without you, we wouldn't be on the air. I never, ever take it for granted. I am ever conscious of the great responsibility it is to be a good steward. And that's why I say we are completely volunteer. And sometimes, you know, that's not an easy situation either, but it is what it is. And I just praise and thank God for those who completely volunteer their time. I'm smiling at John, looking at my engineer right now. He comes in here every day, my brothers and sisters, not just this hour when the radio's on the air. He comes in here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every week. Comes in the morning. Harry, same thing, comes in every morning. Harry's here at 9:30 every morning. taking care of business. And so then we have the volunteers that come in to help answer the phones on Fridays, every Friday when we have our healing day of prayer. They Mary Mee comes in, and Frank's wife, Judy Basil, comes in. And of course, we know Maureen still comes in one day a week. And so we praise and thank God for the gift of giving freely of their time and their talents. And all we can say is, Lord God, please bless them abundantly. Maybe you'd like to give a call today. Maybe you'd like to share about something I was saying earlier. Maybe you were down at the march yesterday. We'd love to hear from you. Give a call in. Let us know what your sentiments were when you were down there. What were you feeling? How about talking to different people on the way down and the way back? And what was the sense that you had? Please give us a call. I'd like to hear from you today, especially after what I was saying about pro-life and about the recognizing that we are all called to stand for life. Once again, our telephone numbers, we have about 18 minutes. So I'd like to hear from you. I'm going to read the gospel, but let me give the numbers out first. Locally, 610-527-2906. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-343-2484. Once again, 1-888-343-2484. And also, if you are driving home and you're going into your house, please put us on the computer. You can go www.inhissign.com. Now, I had somebody call me the other day and said they kept putting it in and couldn't get it. It's two S's. It's inhissign.com. www.inhissign.com. Click on listen to live radio, and you'll be like sitting right here in the studio with me. So my brothers and sisters, once again, 610-527-2906. If you were down at the in Washington yesterday, give us a call. Let us know what the what was the feeling down there. How were people you were interacting with me? I know that the young people, there were so many young people down there. Once again, there always are. And I saw a picture of the young people that were gathered there, the students and college students, and my heart rejoiced. These young people are filled with holy boldness. They are committed to the truth, and they're going to preach that truth, and they're going to live that truth, many times to their sacrifice of their time and their town. I look at Generation Life and all these young people that have come to know the truth and just set them free to be all that God's calling them to be. So for you, the old and the new, it's like our church, ever ancient, ever new. This is one of the old speak, and I wasn't down there yesterday. But I know there are plenty of young and young at heart that were there. And they are the ones that continue to fight the good fight, to run the good race. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, there's something very, very powerful as a witness without even saying a word. The pro-life march on Washington, the pro-life rallies and walk out front of these abortion mills, I can tell you, these are great witnesses. This is what St. Francis said when he said, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. So your presence there If you think it didn't make a difference, it did. It made a great difference. Look at all the women today. I'd like to see the men also getting more involved in Silent No More, because although the women had had the abortions, many of men, I've ministered to a man, I guess about 3.5-4 months ago now, who really badgered, I guess would be the better word than battered. He didn't batter her, but badgered his girlfriend to have an abortion. And he said he was going to leave her if she didn't, and yada, 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 same, you know, all the pressure. And they were going to break up. He wasn't going to stay with her if she continued to have this child. He wasn't going to support the child. And of course, they went their separate ways. And the woman apparently chose life in the most horrible set of circumstances. She knew that he was going to leave her. She didn't know if it was an idle threat or that he would walk out on her. He said he wasn't ready to be a father. And so she said she couldn't do it. And she chose to have life. And she gave life to that little, that child. And then gave the child up, apparently, for adoption. So I meet this man about 3.5-4 months ago. And he shared with me that he couldn't forgive himself. That he was, you know, he's a man now. He is married, has a little boy. And he said every single child that would be the age of his child had that, you know, had he still remained in this girl's life. Every single child he looks at, he wonders, is it his child that was adopted out? Was his child living in the same neighborhood as his other child and him and his wife? And it was driving him crazy. He said he'd have these tremendous explosions of temper out for no reason. Just a tremendous outburst over a little tiny thing. He'd be sullen so often. He went into different depressions and he couldn't figure it out. He said never in a million years did he connect it with trying to pressure that girl to have an abortion and then totally lose track of his child because she left him and adopted the baby out. Well, as we began to pray, I really sensed that it was all this guilt, this self-loathing that was setting this tremendous darkness, this waves of depression that would constantly hit him, this self-incrimination, self-loathing. And I really believe that it stemmed from the whole thing about the child and how he was badgering this girl to have an abortion. And he said that through that time, he wanted to try to track her down. He wanted to try to make amends. And she moved away. He had no idea where she was or how to contact her. And therefore, he really lost all contact and never had, you know, a situation where he could hold that child, love that child, tell the child that he was sorry, or tell the woman. She made the right choice. And that's what he said to me when he came and asked me if I would pray with him. He said, if only I could see her one time and tell her that she made the right choice and I was so wrong, and that she was courageous to give life. And he never had the opportunity to do that. And so that's those decisions that you don't think are going to affect you for the rest of your life, they do. When we make decisions and we make wrong decisions, and we all do, it's part of growing. It's part of growing. But we make such a decision that is so morally disfiguring, if you will, interiorly to our spirit, then we have to trust in a God that is all merciful. A God who loves us. A God who is waiting to redeem the moment God is outside of time and space. Everything is now with God. Time was created for us creatures, for us children of God. That's why we have time. But for God, he always was, always will be, always is. So it's always now. Every single moment, every single thing that we've ever done that was morally wrong, anything that we've ever done, the wrong decisions, the times we've hurt people, the times we've broken people's hearts, the times we've betrayed a friendship, all those things, the times that someone betrayed us, badgered us, hurt us, wounded our hearts, rejected us, all those wounds of the heart, the mind, the body, and the spirit, they're all redeemable. They're redeemable in a blink of an eye by coming before the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon the mercy of God. Asking God to forgive. Asking God to heal. Asking God to bind up those wounds. Asking God to give us the opportunity to say we were sorry. Asking God to give us the opportunity to say, I forgive you. So that that deep depression would be healed. That lack of confidence that can come and stem from feeling we are less than what we should be. God can heal that. Every moment of our lives, wherever we have done wrong and recognized it, wherever we have failed, we go to the Lord. He redeems that moment when we repent and turn away. There is no sin so great that God cannot forgive and waits with open arms to forgive. He wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to renew us and to refresh us. That's our Father. It's just like the greatest Father in the world. No mind could conceive of the love. I mean, it's in the scriptures. We can't conceive. Really, we can't wrap our minds around the width and depth and height of God's love for us. No words can describe it. He loves us. I mean, imagine. He went to the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. He suffered the pain, the ridicule, the abandonment, the rejection, the beatings, the abuse. Imagine whatever we've suffered as a people, whatever we've suffered individually, he suffered completely for us. That's what going to the cross was. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself. He knew no sin, but he took our sin upon himself. And that's what drove him to the cross. He gave up his life. We forget that. The scriptures say no one took it from him. He gave up his life for love of us. What a mighty, mighty God we have. What a loving, loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who created us. And out of his love, the Son who redeemed us. And out of his love that never wanted to leave us orphaned, he sent us his own Holy Spirit to sanctify us from the inside out so that when we go off the beaten path, his Holy Spirit will draw us back. Give us the grace to say, forgive me. Give us the grace to repent. Through the sacramental life of the church to be healed and pardoned and renewed and refreshed? Do we really understand the sacrament of confession? Do we really understand the magnificent gift of love that is manifested through the sacramental life of the church? That's why I say, my brothers and sisters, if you were wounded through the church or any of the church's ministers, female or male, nuns, priest, the highest level to the youngest level, don't leave the church because of what some individuals have done, no matter how horrific it was. It wasn't the church, nor the teachings of the church, that wounded, that abused, that hurt, that rejected, that abandoned. It wasn't the church or what the church teaches. It was those men who fell away from what the church taught and teaches. It was those people, men or women, it was those who failed to respond to the grace of God in their lives. Remember what St. Paul said, my brothers and sisters? How often do we think of that? He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. How many times have you heard, but there, but the grace of God, go I? Never once, my brothers and sisters, never once take for granted our own goodness, our own strength, our own moral courage. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God at work in our lives that we yielded to, there but the grace of God go us. When we see all these things happen in the world, it is the grace of God at work in our lives that help us to become what God's calling us to be. With all our weaknesses, fall though we may, stumble though we may, we are created in His likeness and in His image. He has so much more for us than we are willing to receive. He wants to heal us. He wants to strengthen us and renew us, moment to moment, day by day, every day, so that we can grow more perfectly into His likeness and His image. I'm going to close with the gospel, and then we'll close with prayer. The mother of Jesus and His brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word that Jesus and called him. A crowd was seated around him, told him, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. What does he answer? Who are my mother and my brothers? Looking around at those seated at the circle, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. That wasn't a rejection of his brothers and sisters. That was an opening, telling them that all are part of the family of God, that we are all his family when we keep his word, when we do whatever he tells us to do. For whoever does the will of my God, of our God, is my brother, my sister, my mother. My brothers and sisters, we are part of God's own family. Inclusively, he calls us. He would not have one of us lost. Lord Jesus, send out your word today. Draw all those who are away from the church back home so that they can receive the healing balm, the sacramental grace of your precious body and blood, to become what they have received and to be healed through the sacrament of confession. Remember, my brothers and sisters, you're never alone. God bless you.